Please open your Bible this morning to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26. Follow along now as I read Matthew 26, beginning in verse 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Let's pray together. Our Father, I do pray that as we begin this new year, that we might begin it right, with a focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, with the observance of the Lord's table, that we might commemorate the death of our Savior, a death which procured our own salvation for those who know Him. And I pray, Lord, as our attention is drawn to Him today, you would quiet our hearts and our minds, that all of the distractions of the day might be pushed aside, and that we might in this hour focus our attention on our sweet Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let us recall the occasion that is being commemorated here in these passages that we've read this morning. It was the time of the annual Passover feast. It was a feast that the Lord Jesus said, in both of these passages that we read, He wants to enjoy this time with His disciples. In the Luke passage, it says there, I desired with a great earnestness to partake with you in this commemoration, this Passover feast. And so Jesus had sent James and John to the city to make preparation for this Passover observance. And they made everything ready in the upper room. And of course, the Passover, if you know the history of this feast, it was one of the annual feasts of the Jewish people. It was instituted in the Old Testament under the law that was given on Mount Sinai. And this feast commemorated the final plague of the 10 plagues of Egypt. Do you remember that? When the people of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, God sent plagues upon Egypt that finally broke the will of the hardened heart of Pharaoh to where he would allow God's people to go. And it was this 10th and final plague that's commemorated in the Passover that finally convinced Pharaoh to release the Hebrew people from their bondage and to permit them to go away. If you recall in the Old Testament there, where that first Passover is observed, on the night of that first Passover, each Hebrew family was to take that Passover lamb and slay it and take the blood of that lamb and smear it on the doorposts of the house. Why? So that the death angel of God would pass over that house. But the death angel did not pass over the houses of the Egyptians. And the firstborn throughout Egypt died. And yet the firstborn of all of the Hebrew people was spared because they kept the Passover. So that is the feast that's being observed here. It was an annual feast. It was a commemoration of God's deliverance through the blood of the Passover lamb. You get the picture. And so the people of God were commanded at Mount Sinai to keep the Passover each year as a memorial of this event. And Jesus desired to also observe that feast on this occasion. This would be Jesus' final Passover observance with his disciples. Indeed, this would be his last meal with them. And that is why it is often referred to as the Last Supper. It is Jesus' final meal, but also, significantly, a Passover meal observance. But the significance of the Last Supper goes well beyond the fact that it marked the final meal that Jesus had in his earthly ministry in his first advent. It goes beyond that. Because Jesus himself took this Passover observance and he changed the symbols. He explained them more thoroughly, at least, to the disciples. That there was symbolic meaning now in these symbols in the Passover. He talks about the bread and the cup representing his body and his blood. And not only that, but Jesus speaks of a new covenant. He is inaugurating a new covenant in his blood. And all of that symbolism is wrapped up in what we now observe as the Lord's table. And so it was that after the meal, Jesus and the 11 faithful disciples got up, and we're told here in Matthew's gospel, they sang a hymn and went over to the Mount of Olives. Now, one thing I have done is a pattern, and you may have picked up on this if you're a regular attender here, is whenever we observe the Lord's table, when we get to the end, we sing a final hymn. Have you ever noticed that I never close the service in prayer? And that's kind of because that's what they did. They sung a hymn. And they went out into the night and they went over to the Mount of Olives. And you know what took place there. It was there that Jesus prayed his earnest prayer. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And so Jesus prayed earnestly there in the Garden of Gethsemane on the Mount of Olives. And finally, he was betrayed. Judas was not with him when they went to the Mount of Olives. No, Judas, he went to the religious leaders to betray the Lord Jesus. And he took a mob and a bunch of soldiers over there to the Mount of Olives and betrayed his Lord with a kiss. Jesus was taken away, and it was just a matter of hours before Jesus was put on trial and then taken off to be executed by crucifixion. Of course, Jesus knew all that was coming. And that just adds more even to the significance of this occasion. That Jesus earnestly desired to observe the Passover feast with his disciples, knowing that it was his final meal. It was his final time of fellowship with them. And it was his opportunity then to talk about these symbols, the bread and the cup, and to command his disciples then to observe the same. How sad and how wrong it is then, given the significance of the Lord's table, that some would neglect the Lord's table or take it lightly. How tragic it is that this ordinance instituted by the Lord of the church would so often be neglected by his church. How sad it is when Christians become so irregular in their church attendance that they go months without observing the Lord's table. How offensive it must be to the Lord when a teenager or young person is sitting in a service where the Lord's table is being observed and they scoff and mock and make fun of it. The theme I'd like us to consider this morning is this: may we never neglect or diminish the importance of the Lord's table. May we never neglect it, and may we never diminish the importance of it. And this morning, I'd like us to consider three biblical reasons why we must never neglect or diminish the importance of the Lord's table. And the first reason is very clear. Observing the Lord's table is an act of obedience. It's an act of obedience for the Christian. It is something we must do because we are commanded to do it. It is an act of obedience, first of all, because it was ordained by Christ himself. Look what Jesus said to his disciples that night here in Matthew 26. If you'll notice there in verse 26, he says to them, take, eat, right? And then notice that he also says in verse 27, drink ye, all of it. So Jesus said to them, take, eat, and drink. These are imperative verbs. He is commanding his disciples to partake of the bread and the cup. So the Lord of the church ordained that his disciples would take, eat, and drink. And therefore, we call the Lord's table, we refer to this as an ordinance of the church. That is, that it is something that the Lord of the church has ordained. He's commanded it. Now, other churches, for example, the Catholic Church, refer to what they call Holy Communion as a sacrament. And that brings with it a lot of baggage from the Catholic Church. And so we tend not to use that term in our circles to avoid that confusion. We prefer to use the term ordinance because the fact is that the Lord of the church has ordained it. It's ordained by the Lord. I'd like to quote from a sermon that was preached by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the Metropolitan Tabernacle in London, on the evening of January 2nd, 1876. So it's right at the beginning of their year that he preached this message. And here's what he says. Quote, there are two symbolical ordinances in the Christian church and only two, believer's baptism and the Lord's Supper. These have been so misinterpreted, perverted, and abused that the wish has sometimes crossed the mind of spiritual persons that they had never been instituted. We do not wonder that there should be a denomination of Christians who have given them up, though we think that in this matter they have not acted according to the word of God. We ourselves retain them for this reason only, because we believe that our Lord Jesus Christ ordained them. We desire to observe them exactly as Christ ordained them, and thus only shall we find them instructive and helpful to our souls, end quote. So here's a pastor of a large church, and he is proclaiming to his people, he's telling them this is an ordinance. This is something that the Lord of the church has ordained, and so let us be careful to observe it. Let us not be as some other churches do who have neglected this. No, this is important to the Lord of the church, and therefore it should be important to our church. Now, some might object to this as the basis for us observing the Lord's table today. Some might say, but Jesus was speaking to his apostles in the upper room there, and it was really limited to them and that generation. Perhaps the Lord never intended for this to be perpetuated for future generations. Well, let's address that objection. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'd like us to consider what the Apostle Paul wrote under divine inspiration to the church in Corinth. And this would be long after the time that Jesus had died on the cross and been resurrected and ascended to heaven. So let's consider what the Apostle Paul says to the believers there in Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Paul writes, for I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Now, if you understand the context of this passage, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth to correct a number of problems there in that church. And they even had a problem with the way they were observing the Lord's table. And there were many abuses, and Paul is correcting those abuses. But Paul does not say to them, you're just messing it up so bad, just stop doing it. He doesn't say that. No, he wants them to continue to observe the Lord's table, but he wants them to do it in the right manner and with the right heart attitude. And so he writes this epistle of correction. And Paul cites the words of the Lord, and he says, this do ye. In fact, as oft as you do it in remembrance of the Lord. And so we see that this practice of observing the Lord's table is something that was ordained by the Lord of the church, was affirmed by apostolic teaching, and we also see that it was perpetuated by the early church. If you turn over to Acts 2:42, remember that verse? This is a great synopsis of what the early church was doing. And we have listed in this one verse four essential practices of the early church. All right? Acts 2:42. It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. We're told that the early church continued steadfastly in these things. It's a very interesting combination of Greek verbs here and Greek verb tenses that really stress that they were faithfully devoted to it. They were continually persistent in it. And they devoted themselves to these four things. First of all, to right doctrine. That's important. You've got to have the right doctrine. They also devoted themselves regularly to fellowship. That's important. It's important for the church to assemble together on a regular basis and to have fellowship. And then thirdly, to the breaking of bread. And we believe this is a reference here to the observing of the Lord's table. Certainly that would have been included at least in that term. And to corporate prayer. That's also important. And so if the Lord leads you somewhere else where you move to a new area and you're looking for a church someday, come back here to Acts 2:42 and look for a church that is observing these four things. Look for a church that is continuing steadfastly in these four things. And so that it includes a church that would regularly observe the Lord's table. So may we never neglect or diminish the importance of the Lord's table. And the first biblical reason for this is observing the Lord's table is an act of obedience. Christ ordained it, the apostles affirmed it, and the church perpetuated it. Second biblical reason, observing the Lord's table is an act of communion. In fact, the Bible itself refers to the Lord's table as an act of communion. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Here we go again to this epistle that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth to correct some issues that were going on there. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16. Paul writes, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. And so here we have a passage where the Lord's table is referred to as communion. In fact, Paul is saying this is the essence of it. There's communion that's going on here at the Lord's table in both the bread and the cup. And you say, well, wait a minute. What do we call it? The Lord's table or communion? Yeah, either term is fine. In fact, even in the same book in 1 Corinthians, it's called here communion. In 1 Corinthians 10:21, it's referred to as the Lord's table. In 1 Corinthians 11:20, it's called the Lord's Supper. So those terms are interchangeable. We can use any of those terms. They're all synonymous. They all refer to the same observance, the bread and the cup that commemorates the death of our Lord. And so observing the Lord's table is an act of communion. It reminds us of the common communion that we have with Christ. As believers, as Christians, we have a vital connection to Christ, a communion with Christ. And these verses here in this passage inform us that when we partake of the bread and the cup and communion, we are actually symbolizing that fact, that we are partakers of Christ's body, which was broken for us. And we are partakers of His blood, which He shed for us. In what sense are we partakers? Well, I think the obvious sense is that it was our sin individually that nailed Him to the cross. In that sense, at least, we are partakers. Our sin put Him there. He died for our sin individually. And so we must come to Him individually by faith and trust in His shed blood on our behalf. So our sin nailed Him to the cross. The Bible also speaks of maybe some other senses that we might think of in terms of our communion with Christ in His crucifixion. Our old man was crucified with Him. You know that? Romans 6:6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And so in that sense, our old man is crucified with Him. And more importantly, we are partakers in His life. Galatians 2:20, what a wonderful verse of Scripture this is. Paul writes, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we are, in all of these senses, crucified with Christ. We have a common communion with Christ, even in His suffering. We have a connection with Him, with His broken body and His shed blood. And so as we ingest the communion bread and as we drink from the communion cup, we are symbolically portraying the fact that Christ lives in us. He's in us and we are in Him. I live because Christ lives in me. And you, if you're a Christian, you live spiritually because Christ lives in you. So in a very real sense, we are depicting the fact that our common communion is with Christ. But we would add to this that our consequent communion is with one another. That is the fact that because each of us as believers is connected to Christ, therefore we are connected to one another. There is a communion that takes place here. I want you to think about this. Jesus observed the Passover with His disciples, together with them, in that upper room. He didn't tell them, here, go take a piece of bread and some wine and go off to yourself somewhere. Have a little private time with God. No. There was communion that was taking place there in that room. And likewise, when we gather together for the Lord's Day and we are going to observe the Lord's table, there is communion that's taking place here. There's a community of believers that assemble together to observe the Lord's table. This is not meant to be a private experience. It's meant to be a corporate experience. And so it is in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul instructs the people in Corinth. He says, I want you to wait for one another. Wait until everybody's there. And then observe the Lord's table. Observe it together. Remember, the early church steadfastly continued to assemble together for the breaking of bread. There was a corporate experience taking place there. So likewise, when we observe communion today, we assemble together for that corporate experience. And the elements are distributed then to everyone who professes to know Christ as Savior. And I want you to notice that we partake of those elements together. Again, representing the fact that we are united together in Christ because we are each individually united to Him. David Martin Lloyd-Jones says this, quote, the term communion represents not only our communion with the Lord, but also our communion with one another. We are bound together with Him because we are all in Him. him. And amen to that. So may we never neglect or diminish the importance of the Lord's table. I've given you two reasons so far. Observing the Lord's table is an act of obedience. It is also an act of communion. And the third biblical reason, observing the Lord's table is an act of commemoration. Let's take another look at what Paul told the Corinthians there in 1 Corinthians 11. Going back to verse 26 again, just to reread that for us. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So the event that we commemorate at the Lord's table is the Lord's death. Now there is kind of this future looking aspect as well. He says, till I come, that is, until Christ returns for his second advent and establishes his kingdom, we will in that kingdom enjoy again communion with the Lord. Amen to that. So there is a future aspect and anticipation, but Jesus says, really this is all about commemorating my death. The focus of the communion service, the symbols themselves are pointing us to our Savior's death. So the event that we commemorate is the Lord's death. Here are the truths of the gospel. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin. There is no other way to heaven but by the way of the cross. There's no other means of salvation than the means of the bloody sacrifice. There is no remission of sin without the shedding of blood. And it took the precious blood of our Savior to save us. And dear friends, there is no Christianity without the death of Christ. How many in the world claim to be Christians and yet they have not put their faith in Christ's substitutionary death on the cross to pay for their sins? It's not Christianity without that. It's the core of the gospel. We're told in the New Testament, Paul writes and he says, we proclaimed unto you the gospel, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. There it is. You cannot divorce the death of the Savior from the gospel. So Paul says here that we are observing the Lord's table. We're partaking of the bread and drinking of the cup. And as often as we do that, we show the Lord's death till he comes. He says you're showing the Lord's death. Now notice the word is S-H-E-W in the King James. So I suppose I should pronounce it shoe, right? There's a joke I tell from time to time. I was in Sunday school class as a kid, and I just remember one of my fellow students, you know, we were probably, elementary age kids, right? And we came across this word, and he was like reading the verse, and he just kind of got stuck there, you know? And he didn't know what to do with that word, and so he said, shoe? Shoe? He was stuck on that. Well, let me explain it to you. This is an archaic term. It, of course, means to show. And we might think of it this way. It means really to proclaim. To proclaim. Every time we observe the Lord's table, we're making a proclamation. Communion is a proclamation of the Lord's death. There's a message in the symbolism. It communicates this message. Jesus sacrificed his own body on the tree of Calvary. Jesus shed his own blood. And so whenever we observe communion, we are proclaiming that the atonement for sin cost Jesus his life. He paid the price. Now in this passage, in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, as often as you do this, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. And I'd like to quote again from Charles Haddon Spurgeon as he explains what this "as often" term means. He says, quote, Christians should meet for the breaking of bread. I think that the oftener we meet for this purpose, the better for us. The Holy Spirit specifies no particular time. We're not under a law which binds us to this period or to that. Our Lord leaves it very much to our own loving hearts. But the words that Paul quotes, "This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me," certainly implies that we should often do this in remembrance of our dear Lord and Savior. And so different churches, there's freedom here for different churches to set different intervals. We do it once a month. I think that's a good interval, because that's often enough to keep in our minds the fact that we are connected to Christ, and it's His death that has saved us. So observing the Lord's table is an act of commemoration. We've talked about the event that we commemorate, the Lord's death. Let's now focus in on the symbols of our commemoration. That is to say, the bread and the cup. In this 1 Corinthians 11 passage, the emphasis is on what these elements of communion represent to us. That little wafer of unleavened bread represents the body of Christ, which was broken for us. And that cup of juice represents the blood of Christ. Now, I'm choosing my terms carefully here, because there are other teachings in other churches. We do not believe, as the Catholic Church believes, that the communion elements are literally transubstantiated into the actual flesh and blood of Christ. We do not re-sacrifice Christ as we observe the Lord's table. Nor do we believe, as the Methodists do, in some mystical form of consubstantiation. We believe that the bread and the cup are symbols that represents the Savior's flesh and the Savior's blood, and they remain symbols for us. They stand for something. They mean something to us, but they're not transformed into something other than they really are. And so those symbols then represent to us the sacrifice of our Savior's body and the shedding of His blood. This is something that ought to be very precious to us. You know, some have asked me, why don't we maybe have music while we're serving the elements? Well, because this is a solemn occasion. And it just is made all the more solemn with that silence that we experience as we're waiting for those elements to be distributed. So we have the symbols of our commemoration, the bread and the cup. These are precious things to us. Observing the Lord's table is an act of commemoration. We're reminding ourselves and we're proclaiming to others that we remember what it cost to procure our salvation. We remember what it cost for us to have eternal life. We commemorate the death of the Savior because that is the central core of the Christian faith. And we're never, ever, ever going to depart from that. We're going to continue steadfastly to observe it. So to summarize this point that the Lord's table is an act of commemoration, I put it this way. We affirm that communion is a commemorative act intended to remind believers of the sacrificial death of the Savior, and that the elements that we use in the communion service remain unaltered symbols. The bread symbolizing the body of Christ broken for sinners, and the cup symbolizing His shed blood. And so as we consume those elements of the communion service, we are symbolizing the fact that we have partaken of the death of Christ. He has died on our behalf. He has taken our place. He is our substitute. We deserve to be nailed to that cross because of our sin, but He took our place. And so may we never neglect or diminish the importance of the Lord's table. I've given you three biblical reasons for this. It's an act of obedience. We're obeying our Lord in this. We're following the apostolic teaching and the practice of the early church as we do this. It's an act of communion. It ought to be sweet communion with our Lord. Don't you love your Lord who died for you? And so let us remember to commune with Him through this Lord's table observance. It's also an act of commemoration. An opportunity for us to remind ourselves and to proclaim to others that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And so let us at this time put into practice the very things that we have looked at this morning. Would you bow your heads with me, please? Our Father, we pray that you will speak to us even now as we approach the Lord's table. And we know, according to the teaching that you've given to us, that we are to observe this in a manner that is appropriate, having confessed our sins, having earnestly desired to commune with you. I pray, Lord, that you would bring to mind anything that we need to confess to you. We know it would be your desire that we not forego participating in communion because of sin that we harbor in our hearts, but you would have us to confess it, to be right with you, and to go ahead and participate even this morning. Lord, I pray that you would remind us as we partake of this communion of the things that we have looked at from your holy word today, that we might highly esteem these elements that represent the body and the blood of our Savior, and that we might proclaim his death till he come.